It's a good time to be part of this church, isn't it? Just some great stuff happening. We got a big Sunday coming up. I'm trying to contain myself. November what? 11th. Yes, November 11th, and you guys will see this up on the screen as it rotates before the services. You'll see this, and we're going to be marking down the days. 13 Sundays away, 13 weeks away till November 11th, and we'll get a chance to reveal phase two. And it just, whatever God's going to bring from what we already got's kind of big, very big, it's huge actually. And whatever's going to happen between now and then, that's the date that the leadership set, that's when we're going to reveal it, and that's when we're going to, it's just exciting. So you guys need to be doing things, you need to be involved in the service projects. We had one that happened yesterday. We had the Holy Rollers, where we got a chance to go out and we got a chance to paint. And if you go to our church website or the Facebook, I need to get a link to the Facebook page from our website. But if you go to our Facebook page and you go there and you'll be able to keep up with some things, I'm wanting to post pictures because that's a very easy place to put pictures up. So if you go there and then you go to the Holy Rollers, you'll see that on the, that wasn't 8 minutes ago. That was 8 minutes ago when I took the picture yesterday. And so you go there and you click on these pictures and you get a chance to see the album. There were 18 of us there. And we're going to go to the next one. There's all 18 of us. And how many people in this service were part of the 18? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we're missing two. So, but we've got a, because in the first service we had 7. In this service we had 9. So there's 2 that are floating that didn't come this morning. But I want to let you know, I want to bring your attention to that. Because what we talked about last week, that we're not going to have blended services. We're going to have what? Blended service. And it's exactly what happened yesterday. It was almost 50-50. We had 7 from the first service, 8 from this service that participated together and served side by side. We had 3 generations represented in those 18 people. And of the different churches that showed up to give, and there was like 54 total, I think. Our church had 18 of the 54 of these churches that, yeah, give them a hand. These churches, and we are like 10 or 15% of what these other churches are size-wise. But that's not counting our heart and our service. So I'm very excited about what's happening here and what's going on. And we just had, I'll just blow through these guys real quick. Because I want you guys to be able to see things. I want you to be able to be there. I want you to be able to be involved in things. So we've got Don and LaWanda. Am I saying that right? LaWanda? Okay, good news. And they're stirring up all the paint, stirring things up. And so there we have Madeline and Walt. And they're starting to tape. And they taped all day long. Or at least they said they were taping. I didn't see them much. They went off in a corner, you know, they just got engaged. So they taped, there's plenty of stuff taped off. I don't get myself in trouble. There's LaWanda and Don, and then down there is Les, and he was our edging guy. And Pat, that was the only time she paused was for a picture. I mean, she was just a working machine. Sometimes I thought she had 2 rollers in her hands. And so then we had a group outside, Dave Corman and all the kids that he brought with him. They went out to the playground equipment, and they worked hard there. We only had 2 injuries. and there we go. So, starting to see the green come out. And we're on down there, further down the hall, and they're doing some more taping, LaWanda and Katie there, and next one. And Walt and Dawn still painting. We're almost at the end. I don't know if they finished up the end or not. I had to leave about noon, 11:30, and there's Les doing some more of his edging work. Did a great job with that. And there we go. Look at that. That's where it was when I left. So there are a few other schools that were touched. We were over at Whitewater Valley. And so we want to, when you guys go on some of these other, because I can't go on all these different projects. I've been kind of told I'm not allowed to because that would just be way too much and overloading. And I love the idea, but I'm going to pick and choose some of the ones that I want to go on. But any of you that go on them, pick someone to take pictures. And they might not be in any of the pictures. Like, there's no evidence aside from the first picture that I was even there or that I even worked. But so pick someone to take pictures, email them to me. We'll get them up on the Facebook page and we'll get that moving so that we can get people to see it and involve everybody. Let's use this media, you know, and be able to share in this. So this is very, very exciting. And I want to encourage those of you guys that was it 9 that were in this service? A couple weeks ago, we got our Acts challenges from last month from the Defined By. And those of you who went on the Holy Rollers, you guys get a chance to fill out for the D1 badge. All right? And so don't forget to do that. We should have 18 badges up there representing D1 by next Sunday because we had everyone active in that. So fill that out in your bulletin. Go online on our website and fill that out, and we'll get that in there. We want everyone in the church to participate in one of the service opportunities. There is a help wanted board upstairs and a help wanted board downstairs, and you can tear off the little tabs, I guess, what you might call them. And if you notice, they might look like no one's tearing them off from a distance. It's because so many people were interested and they started tearing things off. I told Karen, I said, we need to get a double layer going on. So we got plenty of tabs for Sunday. And so we've got two layers there. So the first layer might be all the way torn off, and we're starting to work on the second layer. So if you start to see cork board behind that, it means we've blown through a whole sheet, and we're working on the second one, which is awesome. So we want everyone in the church. So we've got 18 out of our average is like 255. So, you know, there's a lot more people to get involved in some of these different things. So go out in the help monitor board. Look at that. You're going to need that before November 11th. You're going to need it before November 11th. It's going to help out a whole lot. I want to do something a little different this morning. I want to poll you guys. Today we're talking about planting seeds. We're starting we didn't get the new slide in there. Oh, well. We're starting a series called One by One. And the idea is that the kingdom grows not by addition, but by multiplication. So you have one person, they share with one person. And then those two people go out and they share with two other people. And then those four people go out and share it with four other people. And then you got eight people. See how it's multiplication? It's exponential, the way the kingdom grows. It's the way the kingdom was built. And for some of us, it feels like it's just so big. It's so weighty. It's so complicated. I can't get involved. I can't be a part of it. You know, we're talking kingdom stuff here. In this series, I really want to bring it down and say, look, it's really simple. And you guys might feel like the sermons in the next 3 weeks are very elementary. So, you know, just stick with me. I'm not talking down to you. What I want to do is I want to bring us up, simplify, and look at how easy it is to be part of this one-by-one style of ministry. And we're going to be modeling this after Jesus. So what I want to do is I want you to remember all the way back, because every one of us here who are Christians, someone planted a seed. Someone said something or did something in our life that planted a seed. I'm not wanting the whole story or the whole growth. We'll have, you know, we're going to be returning back to this for the next 3 weeks. Just that seed, just the seed that was planted. And as you guys are thinking about that, some of you, it's just immediate because you know exactly when it was, who it was, what they said, what they did. And I'll share with you, not so much about me, but about my family. My family, we were Christmas Easter Christians, and my parents didn't become Christians until I became a Christian at the age of 17. Way back when I was playing like Little League baseball and just out of T-ball, so I was pretty young. We had some friends that we had developed through that baseball program, and I couldn't remember. I talked to Jesse about this. Do you remember the name I gave you yesterday, Jesse? Mick? Yeah, it was. I couldn't remember first service. So anyway, maybe God's protecting them. So I can't remember their name. But they went to church, you know, religiously every Sunday, and they invited us to church a number of times with them. And my dad wasn't a Christian. My dad cussed like a sailor. He was a sailor. He was a Navy man. And so, you know, I don't know if that gives him rights to do so or not. But yeah, and he drank, and I think he smoked until I was born. So, but the We started becoming family friends with this family, and we'd go to 4th of July things with them, and we'd always have a 4th of July party at their house, and you'd have all these little kids involved in the baseball league, and we'd all be out there with, you know, lighters and firecrackers and blowing things up, and you know how that goes. Fun stuff. And they kept inviting us to church, but the father, Joe, man, he drank as much as my dad or more. It was just like he always had a beer in his hand or he always had a drink in his hand. There's one thing for a casual drink, but this guy was always into it, always. And spoke the same language my dad did. And so anytime they would invite my parents to church or us to church, I don't remember ever going to church with them at all. And I think part of it was that it didn't match up. And I remember my dad talking. I remember overhearing conversations with him, between him and my mom, and saying, you know, how can they be Christians, or how can they go to church and act that way? Now, my parents weren't Christians at all, but it's the fact that they claimed that way, and they weren't living that way. And so then fast forward a few more years. My younger sister, she was in a soccer league with this little girl named Jenny Jones. Now, I do remember their name. They were a family that had an impact on us. And I'm actually friends with her on Facebook, so I'm going to have to say thank you for this. But we became family friends with them. And you have little Jenny Jones, and then Robert Jones was a little older than she was, a little younger than I was. And then you had Mike Jones, and I can't remember the mom's name, but Mike Jones. And they were a Christian family, and they lived it. They spoke it. They acted it. They were so generous, and they were so, you know, just nice and kind and just great to be around. And they, you just felt like you were around sunshine when you're around them. You know those type people? And it just felt so good. And they invited us to their church. I remember going to their VBS. I remember going to church with them a number of times. And this was before we moved out of that area. So I was like 12 years old, 11 years old. We moved out of the area. We lost contact with the Joneses. But I was 17 years old, 5, maybe 6 years later, when I became a Christian. And I believe that's where some of the seed came from. Now, it's not so much the story about me, because I think there are some things that are happening in my life that we're going to plant some seeds later. But for my parents, if they would have only had, for my dad especially, if he would have only had this example from the Mick whatevers, then I'm not sure how receptive he would have been some 10 years later. But because of the Joneses, I believe they planted a seed for my dad. And I'm very thankful for that. So my stories are huge. You guys will be able to share some small stories. What do we have? Some seed stories. Just little seeds that people planted. Or something. What started your faith growing? Here we go. Well, but I want to be able to share this with the world.
I haven't thought about this girl in a long time. I worked downtown at a salon, and I remember seeing her write a check one time for her church. And at that time, which was almost 30 years ago, it was like $60, which blew my mind. I'm like, what? But now I understand where her heart was and where she was coming from, and that spoke volumes to me, and today still has an impact on me as far as my giving, because I know you cannot outgive God.
Wow. That's cool. Any more down here before I switch rows? Seeds. Every one of us have a seed. I know you have one. Someone planted a seed. You didn't just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, oh, I'm a Christian. Someone planted a seed. What happened?
Years ago, I was married to a man who was abusive, and I divorced him, and I had to raise 3 kids by myself. And the neighbor got me a job at Procter & Gamble. And I was punching coupons in on a computer. And the lady next door had a 15-year-old son who was had leukemia. And he died within 6 months. And they buried him in the garden of the 23rd Psalm. Well, a friend, Jeannie, she would come by my machine and she'd throw tracks on my machine every day. And she'd say, come on in, Peg, we're going to have a devotion today. And I'd say, no, I don't want to go in the conference room. Well, one day I had wrote that I had no money. I had 3 kids who's supporting. And I just felt so down that I just felt like I wanted to end it all. And I wrote a note to her, and she's come out, and she said, Peg, come in to the conference room. So I went into the conference room. And the devotion for that day was the 23rd Psalm. Hmm. So, and by that, she taught me how to become a Christian. She explained to me. It was so simple. It wasn't even funny because I was Catholic at that time. Hmm. And I wasn't going to church. And then through that, one day I was reading my Bible at lunchtime by myself. And John came up and asked about wormwood. And we got to talking about the Bible, and I witnessed to him. So, but he was drinking, and I wouldn't have anything to do with him. Because my dad was an alcoholic, and my
I don't know if I need to grab the mic from her. John, do I need to grab it now?
So he went to Marshall Church of Christ, and he stopped drinking, and he came back, and 3 years later, and he asked to be my prayer partner. And I saw a difference in him, and we...
And you're still prayer partners today. That's awesome. Well, and she shared a little more than just the seed. You guys don't have to share all that. And I'm fine with that because that'll lead well into some other things coming up. So, but if anyone else is out here thinking, man, I don't have a big old story like that, I'm really just looking for seeds that were planted. Because if we just looked at the seed that was planted, that lady invited her to come into a devotion when she was feeling down. And then the other seed that she shared was that she and John, started talking. And she got a chance to share with John and become a prayer partner with him. Very simple seeds. Other seats. Yes. Well, I want to make sure we get this all together.
When you're young, just barely wearing long pants, and your father dresses up in a suit after wearing dirty clothes all week long, working in a foundry, and drags you off to church, and then models the behavior during the week, and the way he treats his people and not putting up with things that, like you were mentioning, he just wouldn't stand for people that would swear around him. And that's just a model. And that's a seed that sticks with you as you grow older, and you always wonder, why? Why did he do that way? And eventually you get a chance to find out.
Yeah. Behavior. People are watching. Yeah. Here you go, Dora.
I won't talk long because I'd take a long, long time. But Vacation Bible School was my start.
Okay.
I lived in the mountains. I was invited to a Baptist church. And I memorized, that was one of I won a Bible in Vacation Bible School for memorizing 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter. I got a Bible, and that's what started.
Wow.
When you got 2 hours, I'll tell you the rest.
John? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Peg witnessing to me and just what I think back, what my lifestyle was like. That, and the more I searched the scriptures, the more I found out that there is life and there is just a great life ahead with Jesus Christ. So I'm just so thankful, because it's just like a chain reaction when it started with Peg and on down. And I hope that it'll be others that I can witness to in our families.
It's awesome. Yeah, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. It's the tiniest of seeds, and you plant it, and it becomes this tree that birds can perch in and make nests in. And it's, things like that. Little things. What other, little seeds planted in front of the speaker.
Like you, my parents, I didn't find out until years later, had been members of this church. But when I was growing up, we only attended church Easters and Christmas. So partly my grandmother, 2 weeks during the summer spending with her, going to church on Sundays. My aunt, going to church on Sundays when I spent my 2 or 3 weeks with her. But also, a childhood friend, Susan Bittner. She invited me to church here. It started with youth group. I wouldn't go if I didn't attend church. My feeling was, you can't have fun if you don't go and get the meat. But Vacation Bible School with Hazel and Rosemary and everybody here at church. And then I became a member.
That's awesome. Simple, simple seeds. Yes, okay. Pass that on over.
From Price Hill to down here in Taylor Creek. In 1946, I think. My brother was real little. And I can remember my brother and I would come to Sunday school, and a lot of the Sunday school teachers, Alice Wilde, Lucy Fegley, Verna Flinch Paul, all of them, they planted seeds. But besides that, the minister was Carl Montgomery, and I can remember him and Les Hines, Paul's dad, coming to our house and talking to my mom and dad, and they started coming. And then Needs, who lived on Harrison Pike, were also members, and they had invited mom and dad to a meeting. And I can remember those incidents and also them encouraging us as a family to go to church, and that's what got us started.
Invites, encouragement, openness. All right. Okay. I'll switch over there.
I was about 8 or 10 years old. I grew up with a family called Schaefer's, and their dad was the elder of church at Anderson Ferry in Delhi. Before they moved to Delhi, they was down on Anderson Ferry, where we were originally above Troll Trolley Tavern on Route 50, where Anderson Ferry came up with the original church. I went with them as a kid. I remember going to their house. They turned me on to bologna sandwiches, but potato chips on them. Never had that before. That was a whole new, yeah, every time I seen that's like, plus they had, she made the best iced tea, and they was just so kind, and, you know, and it was just so great being, like you said, it was like a sunshine family, you know?
Yeah.
And but that every time I see somebody with potato chips on a bologna sandwich, it takes me back to that first seat. It seemed like that's where, because they introduced me to go to church with them, and eventually, you know, I'd take a ride with them and go with them occasionally, you know, growing up. But it was always that the iced tea and the potato chip bologna sandwich always reminds me of that.
You remember letting you connect that to this family and how they acted, how they treated you. Awesome. Yeah.
I was extremely blessed from... I'm going to cry, and I don't want to cry, but I'm going to cry. To have been adopted into a really great family. And Dave Cortman, obviously, there's a whole row of kids that are a product of our family who you can see every single day that we've got some really great examples for us. My great-grandpa, who passed away earlier this year, Chester, and our whole family is like this, but Chester especially is kind of the patriarch of our family. He never said no to anybody. He was always there to help somebody. He was always doing. He was always giving. And that was kind of my example growing up, that he had God inside of him, and he wanted to share it with everyone. And he baptized me when I was 10 years old, and that's where I got my seed from.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Little seeds? It's amazing where these little seeds come from and what they end up producing. Hey, Ryan.
I'd have to say my seed came from my mom. And then my dad, too. They were both very strong Christians, and they really lived it out. Four years before I was born, they adopted my older brother. Then 5 years after I was born, they adopted my younger sister. And then when I was 10, they took legal guardianship of a little boy whose both of his parents were severe alcoholics. And his dad had died the year before. And his mom died a year after we got him, and it was just through their example of, you know, just sharing their life with people, and you know, that really made the difference for me.
That's awesome, and it shows too. Brian's a friend of mine, and I know that he follows that example. He shares, and he almost feels out of place when he's not with someone else sharing. And any others? Joe? One more.
I don't know if this is a seed planting or a bribe, but when I started dating my wife, if I went to church, I got Sunday dinner from her mom. And she could cook. She figured, and they were real strong Christians, and there was no pressure ever. It's just, she loved feeding people. And that's sort of, you know, planted a seed that started there just with
Generosity.
Food, well,
yeah.
Food's always a good bribe. So.
Kindness and generosity. We're starting to see, are you starting to see some themes here? As I was developing this week's message and the things that were coming to mind, it was very, very simple. Some of the notes we're going to take. But I want you to see and connect the simplicity of these. The simplicity works. It's real. It's not something that has to be overcomplicated. So if I were just going to stand up here and share this message without all of these testimonies first, you would have thought, that's too easy. Give me something difficult, I'll work at it, I'll do it. But that's too simple. It can't be that easy. It is. And you've just heard it. So let's take some notes, and then we can go to some scripture, and we can look at some things there. First part of our notes is that the process of planting seeds revolves around the task of building credibility. The process of planting seeds revolves around the task of building credibility. Think about everyone, and those of you guys who didn't share publicly, I'm for sure that there are some things and some events and people that came to mind that were planted seeds in your faith, that started your walk with Christ. Every one of those at that time had credibility. Now later they might have fallen off and they might have disappointed you with their lifestyle later, but at the time they planted the seed, they had credibility, correct? Yes? So that process of planting seeds, it revolves around this task of building credibility. And I will build credibility through what I what? Do and say. How many times have you heard me say this? I'm going to keep preaching this the rest of my life because it's truth. I build credibility by the things that I do and the things that I say. In Revelation, Jesus talks about the mark of the beast. Ooh, right? Where's the mark of the beast? Forehead in your hand. What you do and what you think, which ends up being what you say. Inverse, back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, God tells the people to put his word where? On their hand, on their head. What did they do? They made boxes called phylacteries. And they put these boxes strapped to their wrists and they put scripture inside the box. Because God said, put my word on your hands. He said, put my word in your... He meant in the things that you do and in your head, the things that you think, which end up coming out through your mouth. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. This is a great, great passage for seed planters. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Great, great, great passage. So number one, be wise in the way that you act towards others. Be wise in the way that you act towards others. Take every opportunity that God gives you. And if you'll notice, the seed planters that you shared about and the seed planters that came to mind, they did that. At least in that instance, they were wise in how they acted towards you. And in a lot of those cases, these are patterns, your seed planters in your past. Like for me, the Joneses, they were wise in how they acted towards others, and that was a consistent pattern of how they lived. Make the most out of every opportunity. Every opportunity that comes your way, think, what's the wise thing to do here? How can I act wisely towards this person? And you're going to be successful every time if you're thinking that way. It takes concentration. It takes deliberate thoughts. Be wise in the way that you act towards others. So next thing I want to say, you're not going to expect to hear this in church, but I want to tell you to use salty language. What? Use salty language. In Colossians, he says, let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Let your conversations be salty. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to redefine that statement. We're going to claim it back. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the what? You're the salt of the earth. Salt's a good thing. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You're no longer salt. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Salt, when it's used on food, it brings out the flavors of the food. It intensifies, it makes it more vibrant, more defined. Use salty language, church. Let your conversation, let your words bring out the best in other people. Let your words flavor their life and bring the make their life just vibrant. Because if you remember back, the people that planted seeds in your life, that's what they did. They lifted you up. Salt can be used as a preservative. It's been used for centuries as a way to preserve meat. It's also a great cleanser. It's great for an infected throat. How many of you guys have ever gargled salt water? In fact, it's great, isn't it? And when your eyes get dry, like mine are right now, what do? Saline solution. Sometimes it's got some other stuff in there, but the base product is salt water. Salt's good for those things. So use salty language, church. Let your language, let the words that come out of your mouth, let them preserve others. Let it be a preservative and help hold people and give them strength. Let the words that come out of your mouth, let it be something that's a cleansing effect, that you can help bring goodness and truth into their life. Sometimes that's speaking the truth in love, and sometimes those are hard conversations. But if you think about the people that planted seeds in your life, didn't they have those hard conversations with you? And they did it with love, and they spoke the truth in love, and their words were salty. They were filled with truth. They were filled with grace. Salt is hope. When you speak salt, any of these things, this cleansing idea, this preservation, this idea of bringing out the vibrance in their life, lifting them up, every one of that falls under the umbrella of hope. You can speak hope into someone's life because of the words you choose. You are the salt of the earth, church. Jesus talks about the heart, and in one passage he talks about how these guys were arguing about what goes into their mouth, about washing their hands, and he says, well, what goes in the mouth isn't what makes a man unclean, it's what comes out of his mouth that makes a man unclean, because those words come from his heart, and if your heart's filled with all this is ick and yuck, and then that's what's going to come out of your mouth. But when your heart is filled with salt, it's just going to overflow. Someone from the first service, they went into something that it was kind of above my intelligence level. But they talked about how salt, when it just kind of, it becomes so much that it has to overflow out of itself. And the only picture I could get was when we had saltwater aquariums, and the salt would kind of collect on all the stuff coming out, and we'd have to clean up the outside from the salt residue, the salt escaping. And his point there was that when salt is so filled with salt, it has to overflow. And so that's what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of your mouth reveals what's inside your heart. Number three, from this passage, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine by doing good deeds for others. If you think about all the people that were seeds in your life and they planted these little seeds, a lot of them were just simple actions, simple deeds. Offering you a meal or being able to watch someone write a check. It was a good deed. And it was something that was visible. And this is something, too, that's very interesting, this next one, is that what people see you do for others is just as important as what they see you do for them. Because people will watch how you treat others, and it will affect them. Now, you guys are big girls and boys, so I'm going to give you guys an assignment. This week, if you look in your bulletin, you'll notice a few passages there from John. John chapter 4, John chapter 6, and John chapter 9. Do you see that in your bulletin? Yes? Talk with me. Yes? All right. Circle those. We're going to be coming back to those throughout the series because these are examples of how Jesus himself was a seed planter. And these examples fit hand in hand with these three things that we've been talking about today. The first one is about Jesus, and he goes to a Samaritan. He's at a well, and he approaches a Samaritan woman, and he acts wisely towards her. You'll notice he speaks salt. He asks a question that starts a conversation that allows him to be able to give some truth, to be able to present some things. And even though he presents some truth that might not be very appealing to her, the way that he acts towards her and the way that he shares the truth opens the door and it plants a seed. And we get a chance to watch the master plant seeds. And we can learn from that example. He acted wisely in his interactions towards her. He had salty language. Yes, Jesus had salty language. And he let his light shine by doing good deeds for others. And what happens is his interaction with this woman, as we get to the end of the story later in the series, she ends up sharing with all of her neighbors and all of the people, and they end up all coming to Jesus because they saw how he treated her. So when other people see the way you treat others, it affects them also. And it can plant seeds and you'll never know. And they might not even know who you are, your name, and you can plant a seed for them. Second story is the feeding of the 5,000. And how when this situation presents itself with these 5,000 hungry stomachs, 5,000 plus, just 5,000 men and however many women and children are there. And Jesus does the wise thing. He acts wisely towards others. And he does something for both groups, the disciples and the crowd, which is pretty amazing. He plants seeds in both places. He uses salty language in asking questions with his disciples and leading them through a way that he can teach them and bring some more preservation into their lives, some more strength into their lives to be able to build faith and give them hope by helping them to be a part of the miracle that he's about to do at the feeding of the 5,000. And then what he does for the disciples, the crowd gets to benefit from. What he does for the crowd, the disciples get to learn from. And so he plants seeds. And all it is, acting wisely, using the right language, choosing language that's going to build up, choosing language that's going to bring hope, and then letting your good deeds show because people see that. The last example in chapter 9, great example of the seed planting business here. This guy's blind. He's blind from birth, and Jesus gets caught in a situation where the disciples ask Jesus right in front of the blind guy. I've always felt this is such an insensitive situation. Right in front of the blind guy, the disciples say, "Hey, whose fault is it, his or his parents, that he's blind?" Jesus chooses to act wisely, as he always does. He chooses the right words, and he speaks, and he talks about how it's neither his mom or his dad. It's so that God can be lifted up. Let me show you some hope today. So he spits in the ground, makes some mud, puts it on the guy's eyes, and he can see. Now, through the story, it's revealed that he doesn't really know who Jesus is. He knows his name, Jesus, but he doesn't really know who he is or that he's a savior or anything. He doesn't believe in him, but he is affected. His neighbors are affected by the good deed that Jesus does. And it's not until the end of the story, the harvest, which will be our third message, that he comes to believe in Jesus. The point I want to make there is that he was affected by Jesus, even though he did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was affected by what he did. That's a seed, church. These things that we're doing for the schools, we're doing for the pantry, we're going to be sharing hope in Colerain through the Sharing Hope program. All of these opportunities we have are opportunities to be able to plant seeds and be able to follow the example of Jesus. And I wanted to share with you guys, and it's very simple, but please don't underestimate the power of this simplicity this morning. Be wise in how you act towards others. Use salty language. Bring hope through your mouth and do good deeds for others to see and give glory to God. Be seed planters. Pray with me. Father, we come to you. We are excited about what you're doing here at our church. Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus and that he was just the master seed planter and the master fertilizer and the master harvester. And we pray that we can follow his example. Father, I pray for all those in the building right now. All those who are temples of your Holy Spirit, all those who contain you inside their hearts, who have your words written on their hand and in their head. Lord, that this week, unbeknownst to them in a lot of cases, but that this week they would be able to plant a seed somewhere. Each and every person here this morning, that they would plant a seed this week and that you would bless their work, that you would bless that seed. And they might not find out till years later. They might not find out until they're in heaven. But I pray that this week everyone in this church plants a seed because we're conscious of what we're doing, what we're saying, and how we're acting towards other people. I pray that you would help us to build credibility as the salt and the light of the earth because we represent you. Help us to wear the name of your Son with honor and dignity. Help us to be the home of your Holy Spirit, Father, with a reverence and a purity and integrity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, Christians, man, I just want to do it, you know, get it. Be seed planters. We're going to be expanding on this through the next couple weeks. But this week, man, just go plant seeds. Just go throw them everywhere. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus shares about the seed that's thrown on the path and on the rocks and on the thorns and on the good soil. And that story really focuses mostly on the soil. But I always tend to focus on the seed thrower because I think that farmer was an idiot. He wasted so much seed, and I'm not even a farmer. But that farmer represents God in the way that God throws seed, and I think we need to follow his example, amen? Man, just throw seed everywhere. You got plenty of it. You're not going to run out. It's like having, you know, unlimited ammo on a video game, you know? That's the best. You just go to town, you know? That's what we have. You're not going to run out. So just throw the seed everywhere. I don't care if it's on the path and you don't think it's ever going to grow. It might. Throw it on the rocks. Throw it on the good soil. Throw it on the thorns. Throw it everywhere you go. Christians, be seed planters.